Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The infamous Darien Gap. What is to be done? I welcome Alison Fedurka. She is a geopolitical analyst for Geopolitical Futures. I recommend the site heartily because we're now addressing a story that I've followed for 3 years, thanks to a colleague of mine, Michael Yon. The Darien Gap, but that's connected to a whole series of decisions that have been made over these last years by different sovereign states from Ecuador, Colombia, Panama, and north to the Texas or California border. This is a migration story, but it's also a story about a new president, Mulino, of Panama, who means to change the status quo. Alison, a very good day to you. You are in Panama, and I'm told that it's a very attractive city. People are happy and they're prosperous, especially since the canal traffic has returned, the solution of the drought. I mentioned positive news here before we get into the unhappy part. The drought is over. The reservoirs have again filled the locks so that they can handle the big traffic. There was a time there where they had to unload the traffic, put it on a freight train that moved from one side to the other, Pacific to Caribbean or Caribbean to Pacific. Now the ships can come through, but the Panamanian authorities have made a decision to develop a new reservoir that will take several years to construct so that the drought, which they can presume is part of climate change, when it comes again, they will be prepared. Revenue restored for the moment. There's a new president, Mulino, but the problem is the Darien Gap. This is a piece of land that was prominent in the 17th century. This was to be a new colony. People setting out from Europe were going to find a new world. Well, it's a triple canopy jungle, and no new world there since the dinosaur age. We're looking at a jungle that's contemporary, 65 million years ago. Everything around Allison, who's in Panama, was the day after the dinosaurs disappeared, and that makes it almost impenetrable. But the gap is about the 60 miles or so the Intercontinental Highway ends at one part of Panama, and it begins again at Colombia. In between is this triple canopy jungle that you have to wander through. It goes up and down. There's some dangerous climbs, very dangerous descents. In the early days, to my reporting in 21, there was a 10% death rate estimated. People would die or not be able or get so dehydrated, they'd just lie down and no one would help them and they'd pass away. There were women and children coming through very desperately, holding children in their arms. There were pregnant women coming through because they believed if they got to America, their problems would be solved. Where did they come from? South Asia, Afghanistan, West Africa, Nepal, a lot from Haiti, but not from Haiti, from Chile or Brazil, where they'd been living for several years because Haiti's conditions are so severe. In other words, what was coming through the Darien Gap very much describes a 21st version of what came through the Statue of Liberty once upon a time in New York Harbor. Alison, sorry for the preface, but there's so much to say about what we're about to address, what is to be done about the Darien Gap. The background is at once fascinating because the risk these people take, the moms and dads and young men, and because of their unaware that when they come to America, there is no land of luxury. There is instead toil and consideration that they might be sent back or sent somewhere. So right now, President Mulino, what is it that he proposes and who is he working with for this proposal? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So Molina is proposing in his campaign and in the early days of assuming office to what he says, close the Darien gap. That is not something I take literally in terms of being able to physically stop anybody crossing the border and walking through that terrain, mainly for the points that you've already outlined. It is extremely difficult terrain. And so the idea of being able to control that entire space with security forces and physically prevent people from getting through, that's hard to execute and requires a mass amount of resources. So what they're really trying to do is find different ways to discourage and dismantle the illegal migration or informal migration networks that exist that facilitate all of this migration into Panama. And their big partner for this right now is the United States, who is going to help primarily in the area of helping finance and training Panamanian officials so that they can work more on the deterrence aspects of things and then the complementary aspect of dismantling the support networks for this migration pattern.
The U.S., yes, but there are other countries that have to be involved if this is going to be successful. And I've just mentioned them because we don't have good information. Ecuador, for example, heretofore has not been requiring a visa when you arrive at the airport at Quito, which is why that is the entry point for many Chinese nationals. Young men, big shoulders, draft age, without English coming through. You fly into Quito, you bus to the Colombia border, you take another bus across Colombia to the area where you launch across a bay to start the Darien Gap. I mentioned Ecuador because recently there was news that Ecuador was now going to require a visa. I don't know if that's true or not, but there was news. And then I mentioned Colombia because it is now Gustavo Petro's administration. Is there indication that either Petro or the new president of Ecuador is going to work with the U.S. on this?
So the U.S. is... there's indications with Noboa in Ecuador that he is more than willing to work with the United States, particularly for security matters. That's mostly because of the domestic security situation or lack thereof inside Ecuador. But as a part of that, the U.S. can easily start layering in things such as visa for Chinese nationals and other things that would be complementary to U.S. interests. At the same time, we're starting to see more domestic pressure on Ecuadorians to leave or find alternatives because of the dilapidating security environment within the country. Colombia works closely with the U.S., and they have to work with Panama because they have no choice. But it gets very complicated with the migration because Colombia feels an extreme amount of pressure from the inflow of Venezuelans that it's received in recent years. They have over 2 million Venezuelans in the entire country. Many of them are staying. Some of them are continuing to come in and then pass through up to Panama. And so there is an incentive for Colombia to find a legal and organized way of facilitating this flow of people because they can't necessarily assume responsibility for all of them and take on all of the financial burden of social programs that it's currently doing to make sure there's education, healthcare, even just the administrative costs of processing papers for legal residency and things like that.
The cartels, to my knowledge, this wasn't true in 21, I didn't understand. But in 23, it was clear that the cartels were prospering because they act as, I don't know, there are all these euphemisms for what they are, Sherpas, guides, people who would organize large groups of migrants to walk together through the gap, and they would pick them up in Colombia. You pay a certain amount of fee and you attach yourself to a group moving across. It's not generous. We're not talking about tour guides here. We're talking about young men, often with weapons, who lead these gangs or these packs of people coming through the gap. Is that something that's been addressed in these recommendations for solution?
This has not been directly addressed in the solutions. This would be considered part of one of the revenue flows for the organized crime groups and the cartels. And so the strategies for addressing them would be more on the financial side, targeting their financial centers, their financial networks, and things like that. The strategy that the U.S. and Panama are working on right now indirectly address some of it in terms of transportation modes. And so what they've been doing is trying to put sanctions on and give warnings to any companies, especially maritime companies from Panama, especially maritime companies from Colombia, that are allowing the use of their boats to transfer migrants from the Colombian coast up to the Colombian coast on the Darien Gap and get people closer to the Panamanian border. Those companies, if they have ties to the cartels, would be targeted in that way. But you're going to see a combination of strategies in terms of targeting the cartels, but they're not strictly going straight after them in this particular operation.
Let's go to the specifics of the gap. There are camps. One camp in particular, San Vicente, has been developed over the last year or more. I'm not sure of the timeline. That has comfortable facilities compared to the jungle, where the people have spent at least one night, many of them. And there's water, there's food, there's humanitarian effort. There are transnational or NGOs who aid, who pass out information in many languages. I'm told, I've not been here, I'm just reporting what I've read and been told from San Vicente. Is that going to go away, those facilities?
So I've not been there either, but I've read very similar reporting. Right now, they are not being targeted. And the main reason for this is because of the humanitarian concerns. And so the flip side of the coin for anyone that doesn't like the idea of clamping down on migration flows is the idea that if you do that, you're going to create an even bigger humanitarian crisis. And so if you take away these centers, the people will still come or they'll still be there, but they'll be in more precarious situations that is going to put them in more danger. So there's a strong counter argument that uses the human rights angle that is hard to argue with because it's understandable. Food, water, sanitation, those are really important for people to remain healthy. What they could do is target the NGOs that are running those in a way that would discourage them from running such facilities. That would be a move that comes at a much higher political cost because of the humanitarian angle associated with it. So we may see that, but it would only be something more extreme down the line if the current measures for deterrence don't work out as well as they would like.
I'm speaking with Alison Fedurka. She is an analyst for Geopolitical Futures. That is a subscription site I recommend. We're talking about the challenge of restricting, not imaginable to close, but restricting the flow of migrants through the Darien Gap who've been misled. They've been deceived. These people who I'm familiar with have been told that there is a paradise for them once they get to America. That is not true, but America's part of the solution. So what is to be done when we come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.